He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday morning. It is the June 23rd live edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and chartered financial analyst Barry Kite. We'll be talking to here in a bit. We've got the Dow up right now 174 points. It's at 30,656. I've looked at a lot of stocks so far this morning. I haven't really seen anything exciting, but we'll take an update so far. The NASDAQ's up 110 points to 11,164. Okay, back above 11,000 for the NASDAQ. Never mind it was over 16,000. At one point in time, but the NASDAQ is up 1% today. The S&P 500 is up 27 points to 3787. We have the Russell 2000 up. Well, it's flat right now, absolutely flat. Crude oil down 59 cents to 105.60. It continues to be on the soft side of things. Gold is up $7.60 per ounce to $18.46. Silver's up 3 cents, $21.45. Here's the shocker. Talk to Barry about this after we get done with the numbers here. The shocker, the 10-year yield, 3.05. Is that a flight to safety? What is going on there? We were at 3.45. We're down 40 basis points here recently. And last but not least, Bitcoin, which has been under severe pressure. They're having some meltdowns at Bitcoin firms. Bitcoin is down $209 per coin today to $20,454. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I've got Barry Kite with us here today, chartered financial analyst at our firm. Barry, what gives with the 10-year 3.05 today in a big bond rally?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because it doesn't necessarily look like a flight to safety because, of course, we're up on the, slightly up in the equity markets.
That's true.
And lately both have been falling, together. In other words, bonds have been falling in price while equities have been falling. And so I think at that point I was like, where's this money going? My guess was it was just going to cash, right? Because you didn't see it going anywhere else.
No.
And then I don't know if now this is a move, say, from, it's been in cash and they're moving it over to the Treasury side to earn, 3% on their dollars or what. But, it's certainly a very interesting move, and it takes some big – it takes some big dollars to move, the 10-year treasury from, 330, 340 range to where we're at today in a short period of time.
The Fed hasn't backed off at all. I mean, 75 basis points, and that's what we're expecting again. The only thing I could say, it must be linked to what Chairman Powell has been saying lately. And today he's going to testify before the Senate. Yesterday he testified before the Congress. So I'm guessing things that he's been saying here has soothed the bond market. It was down big yesterday, too. It was down 16 basis points yesterday. So that's got to be a correlation. Okay, yesterday the market was just really flat. It was all over the place. The only thing I can say from my observations of spending a long day in the market, looking at a lot of charts yesterday, I'm encouraged by the action, which we talked about yesterday, in some of these former momentum stocks. Snowflake, PayPal, we talked about Teladoc and Shopify. And it's even spreading out to, you know, some of the more exotic stocks out there, some of the EV, some of the battery charging companies. So I'm encouraged by that. And like I said yesterday, I mean, the first to go over a year and a half ago were those stocks. So it would make sense that if we are going to put in a bottom, they should be putting in a bottom first. And they could lead the market back when we eventually get another buy signal here on the market. So that's encouraging to see those stocks, you know, doing a lot better. I mean, that wicked. We were talking yesterday about some of the sell-offs in those stocks, 80 to 90%.
Yeah, almost every chart I pulled up, you know, it was like, you know, I was double-checking it because it was, you know, 70% year-to-date. And, you know, I one of these things, you know, we could be in this interesting spot, which is kind of where we were coming out of 08, 09, where, you know, good news for bad news for the economy is good news, right, for the markets, because that means, you know, likely not raising quite as high on a go forward basis. And you've got, you know, we had the US PMI came out this morning. You know, USPI expanded slower at a slower pace in June. You also have U.S. international transactions.
Yeah, what about deficit. That one?
Yeah,
what do you have to say there with that?
Well, that, I mean, the more, you know, the more I look at it, the more, you know, kind of a similar scenario to Q1 where we imported much, you know, I think it was a record trade deficit, and actually that creates a negative number on GDP, which actually is what one of the main reasons we had a negative GDP number in Q1. You know, looking at this, it kind of tells me that that same scenario is going to play out, and we could have a negative quarter of GDP in Q2, and so then technically, right, you're in a recession. So maybe that's, you know, that's the only thing I can really see that's moving that 10-year down as much. I mean, jobless claims came out today, and it was pretty much in line. It was, you know, 229,000, which was, you know, expected. It was 225, so that kind of came in line, you know. So those are really the only things I can think of where, you know, we see some signs of a softening economy, and we're importing more, which could, you know, lead to a second quarter of GDP deficit in a row. And so I guess that's the only thing I can really see that's moving the bond side of things.
Yeah, that was my thought too when I saw. I mean, that trade deficit came in a lot wider than expected, and I had it. The same thought, you know, that's going to probably equal two quarters in a row of negative growth. And even though it's not like, you know, the economy's falling off a cliff, still, it's going to hit the headlines.
One, it's going to be good fodder for the, you know, it'll be good campaign slogans.
That was
for
my
Republican
other thought.
Candidates out there, certainly.
Because, you know, that it won't be reported for a while. We could go into the November elections being, with the U.S. economy being in a recession. So we'll just have to see. But I think we're already in one. That's my opinion. Okay, jobless claims. Nothing really to talk about there, 229K. This comes as no surprise here. We've been warning about this. J.P. Morgan Chase to lay off hundreds as mortgage rates climb. Okay, I have some friends in the mortgage business, and they've been getting fat. They've been fat and happy for the last several years. The real estate boom, the refi boom, every time interest rates ticked down a quarter of a percent, you know, they were refining and whatnot. Now, all of a sudden, with interest rates going the other way, not wickedly the other way, but, you know, the 30-year is approaching 6%. J.P. Morgan to lay off hundreds as mortgage rates climb. And, of course, there will be laying off people in their real estate, in their mortgage division. Today's the big day for the World Health Organization on monkeypox. And they could declare another public health emergency of international concern, even though we haven't really heard that much about it. But now all of a sudden they're starting to say it's worse than we thought. So we'll have to see. On Wednesday, the Biden administration allowed commercial labs to conduct monkeypox tests in an attempt to contain the outbreak, which, according to experts now, is far bigger than the official case count of 126. The numbers there, according to Reuters, more than 40 countries have reported over 3,000 monkeypox cases outside of Africa, where the rare viral disease is usually found. So all eyes on the WHO today, the World Health Organization. And the players in that monkeypox, the biggest one is SIGA Technologies, S-I-G-A. Last time I looked, it was up about 9% this morning. Right now, it's up just 1.6%, but it has doubled in the last several months, S-I-G-A, if you think monkeypox is getting worse. Okay, the market's getting a little worse while we talk. We'll be back here. Hang in there, baby.
Powell may be talking, too.
Maybe. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. Back to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the market has strengthened again here. The Dow is up 125, which is 0.4%. The S&P is up 20 now. The NASDAQ is up 93. There was a swoon before we went to the break, but it has come back since then to where it kind of started the day. Well, there, I could do two shows today with all that's happening in the world today. There's a lot. Refining margins tick up as apparent attack knocks out Russian refinery. Just what we need, you know. Two drones flying from the direction of Ukraine caused an explosion at Russia's Novoshakhtinsk oil refinery Wednesday. And that knocks even more refinery capacity off of the world stage. In the meantime, the seven heads of refinery companies, which I'm sure you've got Valero and Marathon and Exxon and probably Chevron, et cetera,
right.
They're being called in before the energy secretary, and I've read that she is going to scold them big time for making profits on their products during times like this. So, of course, that's Secretary Granholm, who is the energy secretary. The timing of this Russian thing, that's not very good to be scolding these guys and gals trying to provide us. But I have noticed, okay, here's the good news. I had to travel a bit just around locally on Tuesday, so I saw a lot of gas stations. 422, we're down about 20 cents, 25 cents. Barry, just on the average around the stations that I drove by, because oil's at 105, okay, it was at 120. It's come down $15, and that's translated into about 20 to 25 cents at the gas pump. And, of course, President Biden has now recommended, I don't know what it takes to pass that, a three-month holiday from the federal tax on gasoline.
Yeah, I heard it's got to make it through Congress. So.
Yeah, I don't think he can do it himself.
And
okay?
there was some on the Democratic side that said that, you know, they weren't necessarily for it because, you know, it's somewhat gimmicky. It's been referred to, I believe, by the Obama administration in 08 as gimmicky. So, you know, there's a good chance that it's likely not going to pass. I think it's more of a campaign slogan than anything.
Yes. I mean, okay, free, no tax on, well, I mean, it looks better. You know, it is a psychological thing. I think to get under 4 would be a psychological thing. When it's at 422 now. So maybe the goal is to try to get it under 4. It doesn't look as bad at that level. Okay, now we've got Buffett, He's buying more and more and more. So we wonder about the oil stocks right now. I think the easy money has been made, but you got to realize that oil is going to be tight for a long, long time. And they still look like pretty good investments, especially the refiners to me and the gas stocks. And Buffett's buying more of Occidental Petroleum. That's one of his largest holdings now. Bungie. Why would I mention a stock named Bungie? Well, we used to own it, and I had to get rid of it. They own, along with several other companies, they own food processing plants in Ukraine, very important ones. You know, Ukraine is the fifth largest wheat exporter in the world, but a Ukrainian factory was damaged by Russian strikes yesterday. The facility located in the Black Sea was reportedly damaged by Russian attacks as the Russian military seeks to advance its foothold along the Black Sea coast. That's a very important area, and that's where those grain terminals are. And several of them were hurt very badly. And it also have raised fears that Putin is willing to leverage famine to foment an expeditious end to the war. He said, look, you want wheat? We'll stop. Ukraine's got to surrender. And that looks like what he is doing. Russia today says suggested that famine could be useful to Russia's desired ends during a press conference on Tuesday. You know, this guy's a monster. What can I say?
Famine could be useful. That's,
yes.
That's an
could very well be useful.
Yeah, that's an interesting quote.
So grain processing facilities there include Cargill, Archer Daniels Midland, and Bungie. And I've always said to keep a little flour on hand just in case. Germany raises the alarm in emergency gas plan. You know, they're desperate in Germany. They are desperate. The troublesome energy crisis is escalating across the globe as a myriad of factors. That's another one that the refineries are going to bring up. Granholm, she wants to cut off exports, and their refiners are against that. They said, you know, I mean, that's one of the ways we have to actually make money and get through the tough times in the business. They're very much against a ban on exports from the U.S., selling our oil, selling our refined products. And that's part of President Biden's four-point plan to lower prices at the gas pump. So we'll see where that all goes. But Germany announced the first phase of its emergency gas plan recently when the Kremlin demands for payment in rubles prompted Germany to prepare for a potential cutoff in supply. And that's exactly what they have done. Moscow has slashed capacity to Germany via the Nord Stream pipeline by 40%. And they could go further. So Germany has a major energy crisis. And, you know, we've seen them even not talking about, they're actually doing it, recommissioning coal fired plants. Okay, more bad news. The Daimler Truck CEO warns of sustained pressure on supply chain. Well, Barry, I'd like for the president to address the door shortage. Okay, I had a little dent, had a little tangle with the parking garage in downtown. I've been waiting 3 months
to get a new door.
Well, it's not the whole door. It's just a little part of the door, but I imagine the door's got to be replaced. I can just tell you, drive careful because there's a door shortage. We have heard nothing. We call, they say, we don't have anything new for you. And, you know, there was also a part we needed for an air conditioner. We finally found it. They never even called back. It's just like, yeah, you can't get that part. And an ice machine we're waiting for a part on. Forget about it. The supply chain is totally clogged in many areas. I'm sure I could hear many stories from those listening today with similar stories. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, we got a few big things coming up. I know that Jerome Powell is going to testify today before the Senate. He testified before the Congress yesterday. And there's also the bank stress tests today. All I can say, that sector looks terrible. The banks and the financials, that's one of the worst-looking sectors in the market. I actually went out of my way to note that yesterday as I sent out some tweets and messages. It's not a good sign, really, when the financials look so bad. But it maybe it's just a temporary thing. I don't know. But I don't see much there when I looked at the financials. Leading financial stocks yesterday. It could be inflation. Canada CPI jumped 7.7% in May, its biggest yearly increase since 1983.
It's all over the globe. That must have been when they started calculating stuff. I mean, UK was in the 80s, same thing, right? For us. It's a global inflation issue.
Yes, and the only thing I can say is so was the pandemic, and so a lot of this must be linked to the pandemic, or have we not taken the actions necessary? I think that supply chain is not helping. I think that's a big thing, big factor.
I saw a piece that was talking about energy and of course energy and particularly gas and oil, the effect that inflation there has had on everything else is a domino effect. Like we said, everything in America comes from farm to table, from farm to truck to table, right? Diesel, gasoline, in general, energy is the primary input for a lot of these things. Certainly, we had some food shortages and that type of thing that you mentioned in terms of the wheat in Ukraine. But there's a lot of these factors can be tied back to fuel prices.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the two things to get inflation under control and down, obviously, hiking interest rates, which they're doing. That's fiscal or monetary policy. But I would say getting people back to work and getting the supply chain churning once again, that would help considerably. I don't know why people aren't going back to work. I can't remember ever having a problem like this before. Everybody I talk to says, yeah, we can't get the help that we usually can get. All right, and the other thing is obviously lowering the fuel cost, and that comes from ramping up supply. It's a very simple equation, but neither one of those is happening. Okay, how about the biggest lithium project in the world taking place? And it's a fairly recent IPO that all of a sudden has caught my attention. Sigma Lithium says its planned Brazil project would be among the world's largest. Sigma Lithium, and Wednesday's, it was up 5.2% yesterday after raising the total estimated mineral resource of its Grata do Cirilo project in Brazil by 50% to 85.7 million metric tons, which would make the mine the largest hard rock lithium project in the Americas, only behind SQM, Albemarle, and Pilbara Minerals.
Wow.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, that's a big group.
The symbol is SGML. And it's already a $1.5 billion company after just going public. It went public in September of last year at about $10 per share.
Yeah, and at least at this point, right, Brazil, government-wise, they've been, certainly much more receptive, right, to those types of things versus, take SQM, for example, that we owned in the past, wrote an article about it. And then, of course, you had a regime change in terms of a very leftist candidate being chosen, and you know that the fact is they could have a big impact on SQM and the mining business. So it's a good option to have out there, I think.
Yeah, the only thing I would say about Brazil, I think their days are numbered as far as a capitalist leading the country.
Well, inflation, yeah, and inflation's always been. I think they've renamed their currency about four different times in the last 20-something years or 30-something years, which is never a good sign.
And they do have an election coming up, and I have read that the far left candidate is leading in the polls, and I think it's Bolsonaro is the current guy, who they call the Donald Trump of South America, but it's looking like his days are numbered. Anyway, Sigma Lithium Corp, SGML, it has a relative strength of 99 right now. Okay, now, a lot of delicate Supreme Court rulings. I just saw the first one come down here that the U.S. Supreme Court loosens gun laws for the first time in more than a decade. New York had passed a law restricting concealed carry, and the Supreme Court struck it down. So that's the first big one. And, of course, Roe versus Wade, we're all waiting on that one. So their term ends, or their this ends next Friday. So there's going to be a lot of big Supreme Court. Will it affect the stock market? It could. It very well could. There's some very big decisions coming down in the next several days. Chinese, here's one of the bright spots in the market. But, you know, it's hard to get a lot of confidence in it. Chinese electric vehicle stocks jump as the state council keeps tax cuts in place. And I would say three that were on my radar yesterday. I looked at Li, and I said, you know, it's just a little bit overblown here. I liked it a lot. And I looked at Xpeng, XPEV. That one looked the best to me. I came very close to putting it into our emerging growth portfolio. I decided at the last minute not to. It's up over 5% today. And the third one, there's four actually. NIO is the fourth one that looked pretty good yesterday. It's not really participating like the others. I thought the others looked better. And then the one that Warren Buffett owns is Boyd.
Yep, we've written BY. About, I think we've written about three out of the four of those.
BYDDF is the best chart of all.
Yep.
Okay, that is a super good looking chart. That's a big giant. Saucer pattern, and now it's building a little handle. We'll see. Very well, one of those could show up in our portfolios here real soon. Yeah, you said you'd never invest in China. Well, you know what? The electric vehicle thing. China is way ahead of us. Way ahead of us. And rolling cars off the line. And did you see what Musk said about his plant in Austin?
Yeah, both of them, the one in Austin and in Germany. I think he called them cash incinerators or something.
Yeah, furnace.
That's the term. Yeah, cash furnace, meaning he's burning. They're burning cash at the moment.
How would you like to be a worker at one of those plants? He said nothing's coming off the line, and we're pouring all this money into it. Of course, their major plant is in the Bay Area, of all places.
And it's about scale, and they just haven't been able to, their other places have had faster ramps in terms of once it's built, right, starting rolling cars off the line. And I think you mentioned supply chain issues and some other things in terms of why it's been slow. But, until those things, that's why for all those other EV makers out there, Rivians of the world, right, these are the challenges, even for a GM and a Ford, right? These are the challenges that that you face in terms of getting those electric vehicles in the hands of those that even want them.
So. I know. Okay, there is breaking news on the federal gas tax holiday. Number one, we don't get a day off. That's what I was hoping for. How about another Monday off? Number two, it looks like it's dead in the water. Pelosi will not endorse it. And Manchin says, I don't know about that. So I don't think that one's going to happen. All right. Now, talk about the troubles with electric vehicles. Toyota recalls I'm talking about competitors of Tesla mostly. Toyota recalls its entire fleet of new all-electric SUVs. The entire fleet has a problem. Toyota has really been behind the curve. They should have been a leader in all of this. Instead, they're way, way, way behind the curve. I've written down 7 stocks that are popping today, worthy of some attention. When we come back, we'll see how many we can get to. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. It's the Best Stocks Now show. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. There continues to be some very impressive moves in some of the former high flyers. And it's starting to look a little bit more serious with each day that passes. And I'm going to bring some of these here to your attention. I'm sure you're going to recognize a lot of these names. But they continue to look very, very promising. The best chart I have seen so far today is ServiceNow. There's another one that we wrote up. Okay, Barry, this has gone from 707 to 400. So it lost 42% of its value over that about a year's period of time.
Yeah.
Now from 406, where it bottomed about 7 or 8 weeks ago, it's now establishing a new uptrend. It's a trend reversal. And it has a major move today, up 6%. It's up $25 per share. ServiceNow is a very, very innovative, fast-growing company. We don't own it. It's a large cap. It's a mega cap, almost $96 billion.
Yeah, and we've owned it a number of times.
A number of times.
And they have pricing power. Software. I mean, companies need them, especially in the age of more remote work. And so it's a fascinating place to be. It's just, of course, the 62 PE ratio, right? That's about the part that's a bit scary, but it's a huge grower.
Yeah, you got to wonder if this sudden drop in interest rates over the last 2 or 3 days has something to do with this sudden interest once again in these high-flying stocks that are so sensitive to interest rates. Because especially today's the best day of all that I've seen in these stocks. Look at Snowflake. Now, the CEO of ServiceNow also started Snowflake, SNOW. It's a $44 billion company, and that's a fantastic chart forming there.
Up almost 10% today.
Yeah. Snow has went from 405. We sold it at 328, okay? Then it went from 328 down to almost 100. 120 somewhere in there. So I'm glad I had a sell discipline. And now it's finally turning the corner. We'll see if it has staying power. But it's kind of gapping up today on big volume. That's always good to see volume, 4 times normal volume. And it's up 9.8% right now. So Snow.
And it's one of those, you look year to date down 57%. You know, it's
I'm glad it hasn't been in my portfolio year to date, but I'm looking at it, okay, Snow and Now. And another shocker, really, is Alibaba. It's all of a sudden, wow, from the ashes, Alibaba went from 319 to $73 as its own country, its own leader, attacked the company time and time and time again. Now, Alibaba doesn't have the high PE that ours do. It only has a PE of 13, And it's turned the corner from a long downtrend to now an uptrend. And the Chinese tech giant, probably equivalent to our Amazon, is up 5.7% today. And I already mentioned Boyd. Let's see, the version that shows up for us, it's BYDDF. And it actually shows up in the MarketSmith charts. It's profitable, okay? They're not losing money like all the other EV players except for Tesla. BYDDF all of a sudden has a relative strength of 97. And, you know, I mean, it gives you a little added comfort that last time I looked, Warren Buffett was still a pretty big investor. They make hybrid full-power vehicles and rechargeable batteries. It's a $108 billion company. So it's a big company out of China. And if you've got something against investing in China, I don't blame you. I'm just bringing these to your attention. And just one more I'm going to mention here. This is a brand new player in the U.S. in the electric vehicle space. Maybe it was a SPAC. It IPO'd just a week ago. PEV, which is PhoenixMotorCars.com. And all of a sudden, man, yesterday it had a huge day. And today it's up, it looks like another 30%. They manufacture Class 4 all-electric buses, trucks, and forklifts. And it looks like they're headquartered in the Magic City of the Magic Kingdom, Anaheim. Future Technology Today. And if you click on their, those look like just regular buses. If you click on their website, PhoenixMotorCars.com, you got a panel truck for construction. You got a bus for, you know, not a giant bus, but for maybe hauling patients to the hospital, stuff like that. And then another kind of a work truck there. So that's PEV is definitely jumping off the page. I had several others, but we're out of time. So this could be an interesting day. You know, I did add one yesterday, one that we used to own. One of the high flyers that we used to own and sold a long time ago, a couple years ago maybe, or year and a half ago. And I did tiptoe back into it yesterday in the emerging growth portfolio because I think it's in a sector that you just can't hold back right now. We'll see how that works out. Now, you can get the newsletter that had an update on our current take, our current market outlook. My article was on a bottom will be put in and what to look for. I don't believe we're headed to, you know, the bottom of the pit. I don't think this is that big 70% sell-off in the market this time around. We're not there yet this time. I think we still have a fairly good economy going on. So we're going to look for a bottom here from this really quite a large sell-off, however, especially in that high-tech space, which all of a sudden is trying to turn the corner. Could that be a leading indicator? Get the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. Get on board with us. Give us a call at 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.